Thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends. Listening to Internet Boyfriends.
She's jealous, isn't she?
No, I don't think so.
To Internet Boyfriends.
We are really bad on staying on top. I fucking apologize to any listeners that think that we're organized in any fucking way.
And you're listening to Internet Boyfriends.
The Nazis are back, and they're flying over, about to bomb fucking Toronto, duck and cover.
Krampus!
Like, just fucking...
Yeah, like, I wish I had a better way of describing that so I didn't sound like a fucking racist. Like,
it's terrible!
I'm a big fan of pickles.
I'm telling you what I learned from television and Wikipedia.
She really likes how I say audio.
I know how the internet works.
Internet Boyfriends.
Hang on. Let me uncross my legs. Which, when I was a kid, was called sitting Indian style. But I think that's offensive, actually. I just did say that, but my legs have been
I don't lost. Think you have a lot of Native American listeners, but.
Or easily offended you listeners.
That's a very good point. After the poop episode, I think we've really culled the herd, or however you would say that. We've clipped off all the dead weight when it comes to the poop episode. So, welcome to another episode of Internet Boyfriends. I'm Joey, and I don't fucking know what duo to use for this week, because I had two really good ones previous. I guess I'm the Tyler Durden to your...
Narrator.
Jack. To your narrator, yeah.
He never really gets a name.
I thought it was Jack.
He never gets an official name. He gets, there's the books that are like, I am Jack, prolapse, colon, or whatever.
Yeah, and in closed caption. I listen to the closed, I have the closed captioning on all the time, so the subtitles. And then
but it's not an official name at any point.
Whatever. So, anyways, I introduced you as per
Does that mean you're imaginary? Are you my Snuffleupagus to my Big Bird?
You're not supposed to say that. I guess if you haven't seen Fight Club by now, I guess that's fair to.
And I think that Snuffleupagus reference is a little dated because he's not imaginary anymore.
No, in my mind,
was he even imaginary at any point while you were watching Sesame Street?
Yeah, man, he's fucking Bird's imaginary friend.
Okay,
that's how he rolls. That's fucking Snuffy. That's the way it should be. Fuck it. So I introduce you, Ryan Kloss. What?
Delete this. Beep. It could also be Bert to my Ernie at some point.
Oh. Why did you just have to make that loud beeping?
Then you can easily cut it out, but beep, back we go.
Oh, God, no. Oh, now I'm going to have
to... Or you could leave it all in. Either way, you have a nice, easy, two loud beeps to snip it out.
No, I'm going to probably have to normalize the beeps, and then I'm just going to keep going on. Episode, if it's at all obvious, we are not cool by any definition whatsoever, and we're okay with that, if this opening has proved anything to you. Earlier this week, 3 weeks ago, whenever it would be, anti-drummer John started talking to me about... I put a question out there and I said, if we had a Godcast, if we had all the fucking people together every other week talking about things, whatever they would be, what would those things be? I mean, I assume that it would be like the Justice League where we'd fucking solve big problems. Because why not? What do you think?
I don't know. I would just enjoy talking to all my friends that I don't get to see
very
often.
Yeah, me too. But we need something. We need something to work on. The fucking Justice League can't.
They can't sit
around the fucking space station shooting the shit all the time. They gotta go fucking solve problems.
If Bendis was writing it, they would.
Oh.
Snap.
Ouch. Anyways, again, we're not cool by any stretch of the imagination. So anyways, I don't know if he was being facetious. I don't know if he was being honest. I don't know what he was doing, but I thought it was funny. John tweeted back to me, why don't you do an episode about how cool you are? And I am accepting that fucking challenge. And the answer is not fucking very.
Okay. Now earlier we were a little peek behind the curtain. We were talking about this beforehand to try to figure out what we're going to do today. We were recording, and we've already recorded a few episodes that may or may not show up before this or not, but now they have to. And you thought we were both very cool in an earlier conversation, given a certain definition of cool. But you were firmly in the cool camp.
Was I?
Seemed to be.
Okay. All right. Maybe then. Let's fucking break this shit down. What's your definition of cool? You had the fucking boat before.
I have is not the definition of cool, but it's how I sort of feel about cool.
Okay,
This is my relationship with cool.
Okay.
It's from Phonogram, one of my favorite books of all time. And David Cole, the character, said this, but clearly it's via, like, Kieran Gillen said this through the mouth of David Cole. Kieran Gillen's the writer. Getting past cool is half the battle.
Yes.
And to me, that's stop giving a shit about what other people think. Stop giving a shit. Just be yourself. Be what's true to you. And life is so much better if you don't give a shit about what's cool or not. Fuck cool.
I think
fuck cool is what I think I'm gonna have fuck cool written on a t-shirt and just wear it.
Now that I think about it, because I gave you my definition, which was a person, and I think now that he is, yeah. And I'll explain that in a second. I think that your definition is pretty much spot on. I think internationally accepted James Dean definition of cool is you're just too cool to care. You just fucking, you're going by the beat of your own drummer. That's your fucking deal, and you don't give a shit what anybody thinks. I think that's easily the definition for cool.
I mean, and to what I was saying is James Dean was doing what I was saying to do, but became the definition of cool by doing it. He didn't give a shit. Like, hipsters are trying to be cool by trying to be ironic and like...
And they're fucking assholes.
Anyway, hipsters is a discussion for another day.
Yes.
Along with hobos and other things, but...
Oh, we could do a hobosode.
We talked about doing the hobosode, but that's another day.
It is another day.
But, like, I'm torn about cool, because the people I care about that I think are cool are people that don't give a shit and are just themselves. But if you look at mass media and a certain, like, image and thought about cool, it's like, George Clooney is cool, James Dean is cool, these people are cool, and it's people, like, and... People are trying to ape that coolness in some way, and so, like, cool is in one way a certain definition of not caring, a certain definition of sort of that laissez-faire, like I'm a badass, not badass, but I'm certain charismatic aloofness.
Okay.
And so some people that charismatic aloofness is cool, and some and that's cool in one way, and another way cool is just being yourself and an unencumbered, unadulterated version of yourself, and without any blinders, without any filters, that just this is who you are, without trying to please anyone, not trying to piss anyone off either, but just trying to,
without shame.
Like, I'm very anti the idea of guilty pleasures in general. Like, that's bullshit. Just love what you love.
Yeah,
and so there's the cool of the charismatic aloof person, the James Dean, the George Clooney, and there's the cool of love what you love and don't give a shit what other people think. So there's these two conflicting coolnesses, like the TV cool and the my version of cool and the people that I care about cool, and I would shoot for that cool. The true unadulterated you cool more than anything else.
Yeah, now I think you're helping me define cool for myself. Yeah, I think that's definitely what I would say for myself too, is that I don't think I'm very cool in the sense that I have the hang-ups. I worry about what other people think. I worry too much about other shit, outside factors, things like that. That's what I'm saying. On that area, I don't think I'm very cool. I think I have a lot of hang-ups with things, and I'm trying to work through it, obviously. I'm sure as I get older and shit like that, but
and that's why I love that getting past cool is half the battle line, because it's like, yes, you've got to get past that shit.
It's that's life. I mean, the more and more I think about it, it's funny, because we had the episode about being old, and now we're talking about cool, and it's always kind of, when I think of cool, I think of my grandfather. In that definition of cool, I think of my grandfather, because he's just him, and he's him to a fault, because he has no shame. Either grandfather and I think about it, they both had no, they dressed the way they wanted to, they did what they wanted to, they just kind of had their own fucking thing, and they just did it, and they didn't give a shit what anybody had to say about it, and that's cool. And then the other side of it is that charismatic, aloof, James Dean, George Clooney thing is Matt, where it's almost in the opposite thing, where I think Matt has, I don't know, I'm not, I it's funny, because I grew up trying to write Matt as a character, because he was my best friend, and I always wanted to, like, to me, he was like the homunculus of characters. He was that, like, thing that controlled the bigger, bad sadder version of himself.
So you just give me a flashback to stuff you've written in the past. I was like, oh yeah, you did write Matt in a lot of times.
Yeah, I wrote Matt in everything. Like everything I wrote, there was a Matt character there because Matt was just Matt is my prototypical human. Like he's the best of the best. He's very cool. He does his own thing. He just kind of doesn't give a shit about anybody else. But he's actually like that James Dean version.
He's genuinely that. He's not hipster striving for that. Oh. He's genuinely that. From what I gather, I haven't met Matt, but everything I've heard a lot about Matt in the last 10 or so years. But yeah, no. What I know about Matt is he's the genuine James Dean Clooney-esque cool, not the hipster shooting for the not caring, ironically cool.
I don't know how he deals with hipsters because I imagine his blood just boils when he deals with them because they don't get it. They don't under like that. He's fucking cool. I mean, any story I can tell about Matt just exudes cool. The guy got a fucking job. The job he's still at, which he loves as far as I can tell, by fucking juggling. He's such a charismatic guy. He's such a great guy. When I was trying to figure out who I was and what I needed to do with my life and things like that, I used to tell him whenever I try to pretend to be somebody better, I imagine him. Like, he's fucking Jesus to me. He's the best human there could be. I follow in his examples all the time. And not literally, that wouldn't be the correct word, but he was Jesus in a parade that the church put on. So, like, it just made sense. I swear I told you that before because I remember he was talking about
if you have, it's news to me. I don't remember it, but
he had to drag a big foam cross around town for an Easter parade. And he wore his iPod. And that was the best part. And that's another thing, too. He fucking hates iPods. And that was like, when we were talking about the Q&A episode about things that you got in early on, Matt is my guiding light when it comes to things because he really is just the fucking shining star of cool. Because when the iPods first hit, not only was he against it because obviously CD players were still popular back then and it was like the idea of like, yeah, I could fucking wrap, you know, those fucking cool hundreds around my fucking CD player to stabilize it instead of your piece of shit iPod. But then when MP3 players became popular, he specifically went out and got the best MP3 player he could get that wasn't made by Apple because he didn't want to conform with everybody else. And not because, not like a hipster would, where it's like, oh yeah, well that's like fucking everybody has Apple, I don't want to do that. But because he genuinely believed that there was something better out there besides the iPod that everybody else was using.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Chris and I both got, after the iPods came out and Apple was sort of like clearly taking charge of things. Like I remember when the Creative had that giant Nomad like Discman sized MP3 player stuff. Chris, for those of you who don't know, Chris is my oldest, right? I've known him since I was 3. We both got the Rio Karma, which is an MP3 player. It also plays Ogg Vorbis, which appealed to me in my young nerd stage because it's the open source version of MP3.
Well, we're still using Oink.
now instead of Waffle. Sorry, iTunes only. Sorry, so we both had, because the Rio Karma played not just MP3s, it played OGS, which was the open source format that was supposed to be the next big thing at the time, but clearly MP3s won. It also had a dock that had RCA cables in it so you could hook up to your stereo.
Yes.
It didn't have crazy iTunes software, you could copy stuff over basically, and it really is an awesome hard drive based MP3 player, and Chris still has his.
I can totally understand why.
He's had his for years, and he just can't be bothered to buy a new one.
Well, how big was it?
Oh no, not that big. It's 3 inches square.
No. The file size.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember anymore. Decent size, 20 gigs maybe.
That's
Totally reasonable size. Totally reasonable size.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like he even recently, like it had a scroll wheel that was also a button. And I feel like mine broke years ago and his broke, but he decided to fix his. So he got like the replacement part and broke his open and like was soldering and shit, and then broke something, but it still sort of works. I'm trying to convince him to get a new MP3 player because it's getting ridiculous. But yeah, so he still has his and I had mine, but we both, like, I did that because I was at the time spiting Apple, and he still spites Apple. Chris is very big on spite, but
yeah, I can't blame him. Yeah.
I was doing it because, like, oh, I have to do this. Like, I can't get the iPod like everyone else is. I was deliberately, definitely a large part of me was choosing that specifically because it was not what everyone else was doing. And today, I don't give a shit about that. But at that time, 5 or 6 years ago, I guess, I still cared about that kind of thing.
Yeah. I can understand that, because now I do. I mean, I still do. I give a shit about what people say or think and whatever else. I try. My day is a lot better when I don't give a shit, and that's what I'm trying to do. So if that means being more cool, and like you're saying with your quote, if moving past cool is my goal, then yeah, that's what it is. I still, to a certain extent, will always aspire to the Matt Malls of the world, especially because I see that in other people and I wish I had it, and I don't. I know I don't. I know that I don't conform by any fucking means.
Yeah, clearly.
I don't. I don't even know how to. It's a problem for me. I don't have the ability to maybe be as independent as everything as Matt is. And I certainly don't. I don't think I have that charisma that Matt does. And especially because I don't have the balls behind it, I guess you could say, which is odd considering my Twitter username.
That's why you're only a mister instead of an actual officer.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be much higher in rank if I had the balls to back it up. But because we were talking about this before, and I was been thinking about like things that people would understand, and I know that maybe John, maybe the best example I could give to him was when we were in New York at New York Comic Con, we were walking through Times Square, and somebody said something to George, like somebody made a comment or something along those lines, and George just like kind of like shrugged it off and walked away, and someone asked him and said like, what the hell was that? And George goes, well, when people see a guy like me, they just got to test themselves. And just went on with, like, and not like he needed to clarify that. He just said it and he went on with his day. And I was like, fucking yeah, fucking A right. That's what I'm talking about right there. Like, that's, to me, that's cool.
Sorry, as an aside, I don't know why you would test George, because he's a giant. He's fucking Hagrid. He will kick, like,
I think it's exactly why.
He's like, why would you test that? He could, like, he's like 6'6" and like 300 plus pounds of muscle. Like, he's a giant man. Why would you fuck with that? I don't understand.
Because people have, because again, to be cool, because the idea is that if you look at a guy like George and you see George and you say, hey, I could totally kick that guy's ass because I'm so fucking cool.
You couldn't! He's a giant!
People think they can because they're idiots! I don't know what to tell you, as I'm saying. Like, that, to be in that position where somebody fucks with you and you just shrug it off, that to me is cool. And that's what Matt always did. That's what George did. And it's something that I don't do very well. I know when somebody fucks with me, I try to fuck with them right back. And I know that's the worst thing in the world to do. And I've been working on it, but that's what it is. You know, I would say to talk about being cool, I think the coolest point in my – like, I've peaked already, by the way, with cool. I think I've peaked. Either definition of cool. And the time that I peaked was when I met Rachel. That was because, like I said, like I've said before on previous podcasts, I do best impressing people.
Yeah.
And making a first impression and really going out of my way to be like, hey, I want you to like me. You know, especially when I'm attracted to somebody, I say, oh, you know, I got to go out of my way to show off to this girl. And I really showed off a lot when it came to Rachel. And I think I did. I obviously did quite well. I was with her for 3 years. Based off of first impression, because I was not like that as things went on. And I know that was a problem in our relationship, was the fact I do so well to begin with, as we talked about podcasts ago, and then I just get too comfortable. And because I don't have that in me, I'm not cool. I'm very good at impressing people and saying, hey, I'm me, and I'm going to dance around and make you laugh, and I'll do whatever to make you laugh. But once I've got that laugh, I don't give a shit anymore. And I know that I need to, maybe I need to not care. I don't know. Maybe not care to begin with. I'm not sure how that works. I don't know how this fits into the cool discussion, how to be more cool in that situation. No, I mean, I know how it fits in the discussion. I just don't know how to say I need to be more cool by once I get that once I've impressed somebody, I can just say, oh, yeah, cool. All right. Right on. Fucking impress you. And I'm going to continue to impress you and so on and so forth, which I would like to do. But it's really fucking tiresome to do that. It's way more likely that I'm just not going to give a shit to begin with. And that would be, I guess, cool. I don't know.
Yeah, like the whole cool thing's weird. Recently become friends with a new group of people. Like, I befriended this Kelly Tindall. He's a comic book artist, and he's invited me to a few parties and stuff, so I become friends with friends of his. So I for the first time in years, I'm entering into a new circle of people, and got that fucking performance, like, I feel like I have to be on all the time, and I'm like, I'm trying to give that up. I'm trying to just be like, oh, just be me, just be relaxed, just be cool, just chill. But like,
you don't have to be not you.
I know, and I'm never not being me. Ever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always, like, I'm never, like, never, like, oh, I'm, like, oh, and, like, I'm, oh, God, I'm just being bad. I've been drinking.
But it's,
I'm never, yeah, like, a, oh, I'm all like, anti-abortion, like, pro-Bush. Like, I'm never, like, I'll never go against, I believe, but I'm just, I'll, like, I'll crank up the performance side and, like, the first impression side of me. Like, the, like, I've said it before, like, I've said it to other friends, like, I give good parent. Like, I'm very good with parents and, like, adults. Like, I give that good, like, I'm nice, I'm friendly, I'm funny, and I give a good first impression. But, like, I want to make sure, like, I feel like I'm in that mode right now with these people. Like, because it's not just Kelly, it's a bunch of people that I'm trying to, like, sit down and be friends with them. And because it's been years since I made new friends. It's hard to make friends once you're out of school.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm trying to be funny and friendly, which... A lot of my humor is a little snarky and a little sarcastic, so I'm trying to do that, but I don't want to do it too much, even though these people aren't terribly easy to offend, so it's fine, but like, I'm worried about the coolness and the, with these people, like that, the party I went to last week or whatever when we were talking was a birthday party for Kelly and his friend Kim, who I'm friends with both on Twitter, I haven't hung out with them a lot in person, but I'm starting to, and it's fucking weird. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but it's just it's like it's that.
No,
new,
no. You know what I mean? Like
it's that new friend, that new, like, you want to make a good impression, but you also want to be you. And I'm trying to ignore that. I'm trying to ignore that thought that I have to, like, be better than who I am. I just want to be and not try to, like, hide the Grey's Anatomy enjoying side of me and the Piranha 3D side loving of, like, it's a whole, I don't know, I'm losing my train of thought, but you know what I mean, like,
it's a tough situation. It is,
like, when it comes
to,
like,
think about doing this every week, you know, we or every other week or whenever we record. This is every time I record this, I really think I got to be fucking on. That's the first, when you need
that,
me,
that
we're recording. Yeah. There's a big difference between how we talk when we're not recording and how when we talk when we are recording, because we have to be on for ourselves, at least, just to say, hey, we fucking knocked this one out of the park. Hey, we did really good this week. Hey, you know, we were the best versions of us this week. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what I'm saying, that maybe it's a thing that I do have in myself, because if I can be on some of the time, why not be on all the time? I know that that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because that would go against who I am as a person, but I think that maybe I could increase that ratio a little bit, where I'm on a little bit more, and I could be happier with myself, because I am happy right now. I am talking to you. We're fucking going over these things, and I know in the back of my head I planned out I wanted to tell stories about things, and I wanted to do stuff this week, and I prepared things and said, okay, I want to do this, this, and this, and that works for me, and it feels good. It feels good to be prepared. It feels good to be on. It feels good to be here and be doing the podcast, but I know
it feels good to be unprepared. I want minimal notes. I want minimal, like, the only time I've had notes anytime we've recorded ever is when we did the 2010 wrap up. So I wanted to make sure I hit the specific items. I didn't want to forget them, but aside from that, I've never written a note down, and I prefer it that way. I like that not having a net. If I'm gonna be on, I don't want to be planned in any way. Like, quote unquote, on.
My notes are so I don't ramble, because I know I have a problem with that. So I'm trying to rein it in.
I have less of a problem with that. I'd say.
Okay. Well,
judging.
You're killing me. Absolutely killing me.
You know who's cool?
Who?
Who I think is actually cool? New Mutant.
Yeah, Alan,
I think, is legitimately cool.
One cool motherfucker.
He seems to be so truly himself, and it's fantastic, and I love him for that.
I think I get that idea as well, that he is just fucking cool, a really fucking cool guy, and that's a great example. I don't have that in me. I really fucking don't. I know that part of – another thing, too, is that I get a charge out of this. That's part of why I do it. Part of why I do this with you is know that we're recording this, and I know that it's going up, and I know that even if nobody listens to it, I still had an excuse to be on for a half an hour, 45 minutes, and that's a big change from my day. Something dealing with people from work all the time. I don't know how to deal with people from work because I tried to be on. I try to be happy and positive and professional and everything else. And in the last couple of weeks, it's whittled down to just fucking professional. Because when I deal with work stuff, I want to be professional at all times. I don't need to be funny. I don't need to be clever. I don't need to be on all the time for those people. And more often than not, when I try to be on with my coworkers, I don't do well working. Yeah. Because my on should be my working. That's the thing. My writing is where I'm on. That's where I should be fucking funneling that shit. And I can tell when I have off days with my writing, I know it's because I'm putting too much effort into dealing with the other writers. And that's, you know, maybe that's a bad, maybe I need to learn, but I don't know. That's the thing. I only have so much cool. I have a cool allotment for the day and that's it. That's okay, I guess. And I'm all right with that. But
I gotta say, at least for me, it gets easier as I've been getting older to not give a shit that so much about the cool, quote unquote.
Yeah.
In the last year or so, it's been especially like, I gotta say that fucking quote from Kieran was like, yes, that makes so much sense. This is exactly what I've been thinking about cool in general. And I love, it's well known how much I love Phonogram, but yes. It's just been, that quote, the getting past cool is half the battle is such a clear, like, yes, it's exactly what it is. Don't give a shit. Just be you. Throw your hands up in the air. Enjoy life. If you like things that, like, if you're a big D&D head, if you're a big, like, who fucking gives a shit? Love what you love. I think it was Paul at Fuzzy Typewriter on Twitter who I first saw the love what you love thing, but it's something I've taken to heart so much that it's just like, quote unquote guilty pleasures is such bullshit. Such bullshit. There's no reason to feel guilty about something you enjoy. Ever. Period.
Yeah. I don't know what more to say about that. It is what it is. I agree with it. The end. So, you want to hear a story?
Sure.
Okay. What I was thinking of cool, I was trying to think of, like I said, I know when I was at my peak for cool. And I may peak again someday. I might figure out, you know, what the hell's wrong with me and figure it out. But I would say that to quickly put a cap on the episode, that when I thought I was most cool, I was not even close. Because that was the height of shit, what other people thought, not being fucking smooth and completely not knowing what the fuck to do with myself. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't capable. I was listening to what other people had to say before I was thinking about myself and thinking about how I'm cool. And I remember it was a house party. I was 19 years old, I think, 19 or 20, and it was a house party that a friend of mine was throwing, and I had all these ideas about house parties, because obviously you see Kid and Play, and
I only have ideas about house party, too. I don't have ideas about actual house parties.
That's the thing, like, growing up as, you know, white kid in the suburbs, you get an idea of what a house party is, and you get the idea from movies like Can't Hardly Wait, and that's the one that comes immediately to mind, Can't Hardly Wait, definitely. Also, I guess Superbad and all the rest of those kinds of movies were after my time. Yeah, you get an idea. You have this idea that there's this crazy party, there's lots of booze, and people are doing whatever they're doing. So we went out of our way to prepare this huge party for this kid's house. His parents were out of town, like you do, pretty much. And we stole somebody's grill, which we didn't know was stealing at the time, because the guys that went to go, we told them we needed a grill, because that was my thing.
Gas, like, or charcoal?
We gotta
have a gas or charcoal?
Yeah, okay. I will get to that in a second.
Okay.
Because there's a story behind Fair that enough. As well. I said that you have to have a grill. You have to have a grilling portion of the party, because people will show up before your party and sit there and have hamburgers and hot dogs with you and shit, and like it was summer, you know, so it's like, that's what we'll do an all-day fucking party, we'll get fucking drunk and have some beer and some burgers and hot dogs, because people love that shit. Of course they'll show up early for fucking hot dogs and hamburgers, and they didn't. But anyways, so they went out to go get this grill, and they said, just find anything on the side of the road, like anybody, if anyone's throwing their grill away. So they went out, the two guys went out, and they got the grill, and they brought it back, and it was a gas propane grill. And we didn't have a propane tank. There wasn't one attached to the grill, so it was just there. So like, all right, well, where'd you guys get this? And like, yeah, we got it. you know, like off the side of the road or whatever. Turned out to be off the side of somebody's house. I don't know. It was an older grill. It was a piece of shit grill. So we ripped everything out of the grill that could make it into a gas grill. So we basically essentially turned it into a fucking piece of metal. And that's all it was. And we went out and we bought a whole bunch of charcoal briquettes and lighter fluid. And there's still a video to this day up on YouTube that I'll probably show you to get a laugh. You've probably seen the video of the flames, like the fucking 6-foot flames coming off the grill because Matt was dicking around with the lighter fluid.
I might have seen this years ago.
Yeah.
Not as recent as the dog food one, but...
Oh, fuck you.
Is it on your account?
It is on my account, yeah. He was in the house... He was in the garage because it was raining out before the beginning of the party. So he thought that he would have the grill somewhat in the garage, somewhat out of the garage, so it wouldn't get wet. But then the flames were so high, it was actually warping the plastic siding on the house because the grill was so fucking hot and the flames were so high. So we had to push it out into the fucking driveway. And that's the video after it's been pushed out of the driveway of him just like letting fucking loose and flames licking up into the air. Anyways, to kind of fast forward or kind of maybe rewind fast forward, I went out and I bought Family Guy on DVD that day and I was like, we're gonna watch Family Guy and it's gonna be great and whatever. Like, I had no idea what the hell a party was and I thought all these things and I was 100% wrong about all of them and I thought I was really cool because I went out and I bought like a black, not leather jacket, but I bought like a black jacket to go over like my shit and I was like, yeah, fucking like I look badass and everything and got a whole bunch of liquor. And I remember I insisted upon potato salad. I have no idea why I got potato salad for a party while everyone was drinking heavily because potato salad and alcohol do not mix
at all.
They really don't. And like I was saying, like I thought I was really cool and I fucking wasn't. And I remember the party got kicked off and just shit started getting fucking broken all over this kid's house. People were pissing in the sink. One of the windows got broken. It was a complete fucking mess. And all of a sudden, I don't know if the cops, to this day, I don't know if the cops actually showed up or if they were just driving by or what the hell happened, but like it was easily the biggest fucking house party I've ever been to. And for good reason, because it was a fucking mess. I guess it was the cops driving by, because obviously if they stopped, they probably would have put a stop to the party, because we had obviously young kids, loud music, alcohol, we're all underage. I was in the hallway, and all of a sudden I heard someone yell, "The cops are here, the cops are here." Ran into a bedroom. And I was drunk at this point, and I thought it was a really good idea, apparently, to just lay on the bed. Because if, like, just in case the cops ever showed up, I'd be like, no, I live here, and I'm just sleeping here and with my clothes on, drunk in this fucking random person's bed. That's what's gonna happen here. So, I'm laying there in the bed, and all of a sudden, like, the lights are off in the room, I'm quiet, I'm just laying there. I hear outside is all quiet, everything's all quiet, and all of a sudden I hear, shut up, shut up, shut up. Fucking, like, and I hear somebody pushing somebody else and, like, banging. And then just, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Shut up. The cops are here. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. It's these two kids drunk in this kid's closet pushing each other back and forth because they both wanted to have the closet as their hiding spot. And I'm laying there just listening to these two fucking assholes go back and forth. And for some reason, I thought this was the greatest thing ever. So I got up and I walked downstairs. I had drank some more. One of my friends had showed up late for the party. So we were doing shots with him. And then we drove. Of course, we're fucking piss drunk. We drove to another party like you do. And it was another thing with the cops possibly showing up. And like second time in the night, we just fucking took off and ran through bushes. Kyle's birthday party. I remember I was pissed drunk and I showed up to the party with Matt and Timmy dragging me. And I remember being very clear that it was Kyle's birthday. And I must have said at least 900 times, "Hey, it's Kyle's birthday. Hey, it's Kyle's birthday. Kyle's birthday. Hey, it's Kyle's birthday. Oh my God, it's Kyle's birthday." Yeah, so we were there for a little bit, drank some more, of course. And then someone said cops were showing up. We ran to the backyard. We ran over his bushes and fence into another yard and then ran out to the street. And I remember sitting there on the sidewalk, lighting up a cigarette. I think I was smoking then.
I
was smoking for a while. 3 or 4 years at least. Yeah, so I think I lit up a cigarette and then somebody walked over and they're like, "Hey, you fucking kids are coming from the party. Put your hands up." And it was Kyle's cousin was walking down the street yelling at us. Yeah. And right then and there, I should have had a revelation. I probably didn't because my blood alcohol level was beyond anything it should have been. But I should have had the realization that I am not cool when I'm 19 years old and I'm having a cigarette to calm down from running from what I thought was the cops, and it turns out to be Kyle's cousin. I'm not cool. I'm just some fucking dumb kid from the suburbs that don't know any better, and I should have learned then. And it would have served me well had I learned then that I was not cool, but I did not. So went back to the party. There was this very beautiful blonde girl there, and I thought that she liked me, and she probably didn't. I will never know, but she was throwing up, and I'm going to blame a lot of it on being drunk, but I know the truth is that I'm just not a cool guy. I thought it was a great idea to be like, she was puking into a punch bowl.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Because like that's what it had come up to at that point. We were out of garbage cans because it looked like a fucking war zone when the party was over. It's just all these kids just passed out drunk everywhere. And so this girl's on the couch puking into a punch bowl, and Timmy left the party. I think Matt left the party, or maybe Matt, like, knowing Matt, he probably just went downstairs and like slept on a couch or something, or on the floor or whatever. Knowing Matt, he probably brought a sleeping bag and then like rolled out a mat on the floor, like a padded mat, and then laid out a sleeping bag, and then like, you know, had a nice little area that he slept in and everything. And knowing Jake, he probably slept with his clothes on, like huddled in the corner with no sleeping bag. And then, you know, we just had everybody everywhere. And I remember holding this girl's hair and sitting there on the couch with her and trying to be nice to her and trying to be caring at some level, because, you know, I wanted to fuck her. So that was my thing, where I was like, that's the most cool I could muster. I was like, you're throwing up and clearly we're going to have sex. That's what's going to happen. Never fucking happened.
You were so cool.
Yeah, no, I was not. To this day, I don't think I'm cool to put the cap on the episode here, to finish off the episode. I don't think I was cool then. I don't think I'm cool now. And I think that's okay.
Of course it's okay.
Well, it has been fun, sir, talking about cool. But alas, we must end the episode because I think it's probably getting long now. So I'm Joey, Mr. Balls on Twitter, at Mr. Balls. Did we ever decide if it's at Mr. Balls?
I'm sort of against the at part, but...
I am too. I think it's weird.
It's sort of a given. Clearly, every Twitter account has an at in front of it.
Yeah, but that's because you're mentioning them.
Yeah, but still, like, it's we know that Mr. Balls is your Twitter account, so you don't need to know the at symbol's there.
I'm fine with that.
And I'm on Twitter. I'm Ryan Kloss. I'm Gobo on Twitter. And let us know if you enjoyed the last few shows.
Now we got a Facebook page. So.
Oh yeah, you made a Facebook page. Like us on Facebook.
Why?
Why not?
Because it's Facebook.
So Facebook's huge. Oh. Haven't you seen the Social Network? Can't make 500 million friends without making a few enemies.
I have made a few enemies, my friend. I have made a few enemies.
Why don't you have 500 million friends? Isn't that how it works?
It should be. It should work that way, but I don't think it does. So,
that sucks.
Thank you all for listening. Thank all of you for listening. We love you so much. We'll see you next.
Take care.